Time once again for our final sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, as we approach the end of the year. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. I can't quite believe we're at the end of the year already, almost the end of 2022. Nice to speak to you.
Indeed. A few topics to get through. We'll mention some Christmas stuff, of course, and some news about opening times for RNIB over the break. But let's start, first of all, another important thing that we make no excuse for reminding people of. It's the help, advice and so on, and indeed the work that's being done by RNIB around the cost of living crisis.
I think, you know, the recent cold weather snap has really highlighted the pressure on energy, particularly as people need to heat their homes. And traditionally January and February are sort of colder months than December. So we've still got a fair slug of the winter to sort of get through. I also think people will find the economic pressure building and be more acute in the new year. You know, it'll be more obvious, you know, about some of the challenges and some, you know, people will be paying for Christmas. And I think, you know, the financial situation be more acute. We've seen inflation come down a little bit from the high, but it's still hovering around the sort of 10% mark. So it's not as if it's getting back into sort of single digits with things continued pressure, particularly on food inflation, even though, you know, a tank of petrol has come down in price from the highs as oil prices have gone down. So, you know, it's something we're ever vigilant about on a number of fronts. You know, looking at not only the income we generate, clearly, because that's affected by how well-off people feel financially. You know, our cost base is affected by costs. You know, a number of our things we spend money on are affected by inflation. We've just been looking at the sort of energy bill going forwards, and clearly we're moving from what's been a lower agreement to something that's going to cost us a lot more money. So we're not immune from that, and that impacts the organisation clearly. And then most importantly, you know, we're very focused on our beneficiaries. And I would just encourage the listeners to keep looking at our social media and our websites to find the very latest information. And there's a combination of things that are happening. People will see in updated, frequently asked questions and advice. We've been constantly and encouragingly dealing with energy providers who've been coming back to us over the last few weeks, keen to talk to us in detail about what they can do on a variety of things, from putting people on vulnerable registers through to, you know, putting people beneficially on maybe smart meters to help manage energy consumption, and also opening up access to whatever sort of grants and funds that they might have in their gift as well. So that's been a good response in the last couple of weeks. And we've done a lot with you know, retailers to try and make sure that value products and the cheaper end of the market is very visible to blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, good deals and cheaper products can be available. And we've talked to, for example, the improvement to the Tesco app, so that the sort of club card prices and the value offers are in there and very visible to blind and partially sighted people using the app, which wasn't accessible before. So, you know, all those things are dogged work. It's ongoing. We have a team of people on it. And one final thing, Alan, that we're planning to do in the middle of January, but is actually to have a bit of a takeover of all the comms channels across all the charities involved in this work, to really have a collaborative and consistent focus on the cost of living crisis, and really try and use that as leverage to, you know, get our point across, to go, you know, campaign and have influence with people who can do beneficial things for us, but also, you know, to make sure there's one consistent voice and message for all our beneficiaries to find information. So we're looking to try and do that sort of comms takeover on one day in January on the cost of living crisis.
We will, of course, give the contact details a little bit later. Let's move on to Ukraine now. And RNIB, along with other charities, have been helping those affected by the war in Ukraine over the past year. And you've also had, you've paid a visit to some Ukrainian children for a choir. So tell us about that.
Yes, I feel very proud, actually, the way the visually impaired charity sector has responded to Ukraine. I mean, clearly, you know, we have a remit that's really the UK. You know, we're not an international charity. But, you know, when something like the Ukraine happens, you can't but take notice and want to provide some help, you know, particularly, you know, being one of the bigger global, you know, charities in the VI sector. So working with our colleagues in the other sort of UK charities in the VI sector, we responded through this year in variously sending in a lot of equipment, canes and other things and games and various gadgets. and technology into Poland and Hungary and Romania for use by refugees coming over the border. That was a particular thing we were doing in the spring and early summer. We've given money to European Blind Union to spend on support as they saw fit. Blind veterans have been doing some work in Ukraine to see what help they can provide for any Ukrainian service people who are sort of wounded and have sort of eye health issues in the fighting. Guide dogs have been, you know, looking at issues of sort of pet management and dog management of dogs and guide dogs coming over the border. And we are, the RNIB, working on providing a virtual library into Ukraine for blind and partially sighted people to draw down books and content. And we're just in the process of uploading content now into that solution. And I hope, you know, that will go live imminently. And we know how much succor and help that would provide to blind and partially sighted people who have been deprived of sort of physical libraries because many of them have been shelled and taken out of circulation. So, you know, there's a lot there that we've done that I feel very proud of. We've just this week, we're hosting in the UK a group of Ukrainian children, students who came over the border largely from Kharkov early in the summer and have been supported and sort of housed by a school in Poland. And we've been planning a trip for them to come to the UK. So it's great that they're over now. There's about 15 children with various sort of teachers and supporters over, and they're having an interesting week in the UK being supported by us. And also we've been working with Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York, on this, who has a strong track record of supporting children in Eastern Europe. And so this week she's organised for them to go to the Tower of London to see the Crown Jewels. They've gone to Buckingham Palace to see Changing the Guard. Today they've gone off to Winter Wonderland in sort of Hyde Park. And at the weekend they're going out to Birmingham, and we'll be going around one of the guide dogs national centres, you know, looking at sort of puppy training and dog training up in Birmingham. Then they're going to fly home. So today they gave a little performance as a choir, which is the sort of key thing that they do. They're a choir, and they gave a little performance at Thomas Pocklington Trust's office in Bloomsbury with an audience of about 100 people turned up to watch. And they were fantastic, actually. Sang for about 40 minutes, variety of songs in Ukrainian, I think Polish. They did two songs in English, which was the UK national anthem, and they sang Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, but they did some obviously lovely Ukrainian songs very movingly, and they were fantastic, actually. And I felt very both energised and honestly really humbled, actually, to see it and to be able to play a small part in sort of hosting it. So it was great to see that today, but it's part of our wider sort of contribution to supporting blind and partially sighted people in Ukraine.
Sounds of having a fantastic time, hugely important as well. Good luck to them. Almost out of time, Matt, but you know, we're coming towards the Christmas shutdown for lots of businesses and services and so on. So important to remind people that, you know, if they need help and support from RNIB, it is still there.
Critical services from the RNIB, you know, remain open, you know, through the Christmas and New Year period. So variously, the helpline will be open between Christmas and New Year. We've also got talk and support team running a seasonal offer next week between Christmas and New Year. And clearly, you know, it's a time when many people are quite lonely at home, and having that service, you know, is probably particularly important for many people, you know, through Christmas and New Year. We've also got ECLOs out in hospital who will be providing a service depending on the opening hours of the hospitals and what they're doing from a sort of eye health perspective. And so I just encourage your listeners to, you know, go on the website and find the appropriate links, and we can put them in this, Alan, to show when those services will be open. So if you need the RNIB over Christmas and New Year, some of our critical services, you know, the really critical ones, will be open, and people can use them.
Indeed. If you'd like more information, do go to the website rnib.org.uk. The helpline number is 0303 123 9999. You can also contact the helpline with your Amazon Echo device. Just ask Lady A to call RNIB helpline. Matt, 2022 has drawn to a close. We shall catch up again with you next year for the weekly updates, of course. But thank you for joining us again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan. My pleasure. Speak to you in 2023.